maybe we're going down this route. So one of the books that's been on my shelf for a long time is a book called Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations by Robert Schneese. Now, it's very American in many ways. But the practices that he suggests in it for churches, for fruitful congregations, and by fruitful, it's not just about whether you are growing, whether that be spiritually, numerically, or in any other way, but about being fruitful, bearing fruit in God's name. The five practices he suggests are, firstly, radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. Not just hospitality, but radical hospitality. We'll come back to that one in a moment. Second is passionate worship. And because I think we're going to go an awful lot on the radical hospitality today, let me just explain that for him, passionate worship means that we just have to keep thinking what it is that we do to, or what do we do for the love of God? What do we do for the love of God? So instances he gave of that idea was of a woman who decided that every Sunday morning she'd come in 5 minutes earlier than usual and dust around the whole church. And she was doing it for the love of God. That was part of her worship. The musicians, all apart from me, come in early and practice. The stewards set things up. People on our AV desks, they set stuff up. All for the love of God. And if our worship is not done for the love of God, then it doesn't lead on to that which Nick was then going on to, which is about actually our worship is not just about that, it's about how it transforms us or inspires us to then do what we're called to do. The next was intentional faith development. The idea we have in the Bible is of how the followers of Jesus gathered together, devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Intentional faith development. How many of us get to a place where we think we either know it all, or maybe we've come to a place where we've been had an experience and we don't think we need anything more? Intentional faith development is gathering together that we might learn more. So the advert is for tomorrow evening when you can come and watch. I knew I'd get that in at some time. Chocolat, tomorrow night is the first session, and it's fortnightly course from 7:30. Do come and join it, because actually there's an awful lot of what we're talking about here comes up in that film, Chocolat. So there we are. Next, risk-taking mission and service. Churches can be very risk-averse places. And they'd base it on the thing that, well, we tried it in 1923 and it didn't work then, so it won't work now, will it? How often do we kind of hear those phrases? It didn't work, we tried it once, and that's it. And sometimes there's a right time for things to happen, and other times things don't happen, and we never know why. But we stop taking risks. We're frightened. And when we stop taking risks, what we do is we build barriers around ourselves again, and we keep others away from us. And the fifth one is extravagant generosity. And in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity. One of the things that we know, I have to say this, well, no, I don't have to say it because my treasurer is here. But because Jenny is here, let's just remind ourselves, Mick speaks every now and again at church council and reminds us that actually our finances will run out one day. And we don't want finances for finance' sake. And one of the worries that we will have in all our churches is, actually, we might not be here when our finances run out. Because how are we growing as a community? So, just a reminder, church anniversary is coming up, and it's good for us all, every time, every year, to rethink what it is that we give to God's work in this place and through this community. But I want to come back to the radical hospitality. Because hospitality, that's the first place where people see us and begin to think who we are. And there's a guy called Lawrence Singleton who wrote a book called Reaping, Sowing, something else, Harvesting, I think it was. And he said that the way that people come into church, first of all, is a sense of belonging, of being welcome, of being part of. The second stage goes towards believing, and the third stage goes to behaving. But the first thing is that sense of being part of, belonging, included. And as we were talking about what that exercise that we did, that Jesus is looking out from us into the world. And I can imagine with sadness, weeping, because the people who he's looking at may not always feel welcome in here, may not feel welcome in churches or in this particular church. Are we truly welcoming? Are we truly open? Schneezy says this about hospitality. It refers to the active desire to invite, welcome, receive, and care for those who are strangers, so that they find a spiritual home and discover for themselves the unending richness of life in Christ. It describes a genuine love for others who are not yet part of the community, an outward focus, a reaching out to those not yet known, a love that motivates church members to openness and adaptability, a willingness to change behaviours in order to accommodate the needs and receive the talents of newcomers. Beyond intention, hospitality practices the gracious love of Christ, respects the dignity of others, and expresses God's invitation to others, not ours. Not ours. He then picks up on the word radical. And this is what he has to say, because our hospitality is that, but it needs to be even more. It says radical means arising from the source, describes practices that are rooted in the life of Christ, that radiate into the lives of others. Radical means drastically different from ordinary practice outside the normal. And so it provokes practices that exceed expectations, then go the second mile, that take welcoming the stranger to the max. Churches very often think we're good at welcoming people and being open and inclusive. But when we sit back and congratulate ourselves on that, I think we've beginning to lose some of the point and we've not gone far enough. Radical takes us a real step further. Going the second mile. It's very hard sometimes. But it seems to me that it says that when someone comes and asks for a biscuit, we give them five. That sense of actually being lavish with what we have. And it seems to me that's the way that Jesus speaks of God's love and God's radical hospitality. that it goes beyond the normal. Goes beyond the normal. How do we make sure are welcome or that we are radically hospitable? Just talk with the people who are near you just for a moment about how you think you've seen us being radically hospitable or maybe not radically hospitable. Just talk with each other for a moment or two.
Church on reception. The first time that we'd done that in the 20-odd years that we've been members here. And going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think Jesus would feel at home here. Because what's the first thing you see when you come in? It says, refugees are welcome. And then one looked at the groups that we met and how comfortable they felt, not only as coming onto our premises, but how they related to us as church members. And we talked to them for the first time, but there were no barriers between us. Now, I don't think I'm being unnecessarily optimistic. I want our church to be all of those things, but I think in many respects it already is. It is trying hard, and a lot of the time I think it is succeeding. I think that the radical, it's actually going back to what Jesus did himself. Who did he mix with? Who did he welcome? And I'm not aware of, I may have missed it all, but I'm not aware of people being turned away or told, you're not welcome, okay, by behavior or in words.
Thank you.
I think one thing churches are quite good at sometimes is gathering people and being having open doors.
I think one of the things that we're sometimes not so good at is mingling or intermingling with others. I think we are very good at sitting down at tables with the people we always sit down at tables with, rather than actually integrating or allowing others to integrate with us. So I think there are times where I have seen people sat at tables who are not part of the regular, certainly worshipping community or seen as part of the church community, and they've been sat on a table on their own or maybe with someone else who's come in who's also on their own. So I don't always think that we are brilliant at sitting with others, and I don't just say for this church, I'll say that with every church that I've ever been in. So it's not something that's limited. One of the things in Schneese's book too is that the way that we can seem very open and welcoming, it's sometimes this next step that becomes very difficult. And that's much more in the intentional faith development, but where you don't, or people don't always feel welcome in groups or in a particular kind of times. We do church for ourselves sometimes, and others come and sometimes are more observers. So that's all I would say about that. I do think we're very open here, and I think we are quite welcoming. But I don't know if we always show that welcome intentionally enough with others who've come. So that would be a question I would always ask. One of the interesting things today, I don't know if Nick's already picked this up, but Richard Rohr's meditation this morning is full of this theme of it. And, you know, he talks about how if the love of God doesn't directly influence and even change how we engage in the issues of our time, I'd also say with the people that we're in, then I wonder what good religion is. So I think there's really something very powerful in that. How do we make sure we do that? We're going to move on. We're going to sing Let Us Build a House, because that is what we want to continue to do, to build on the good that we already do and are already doing, but to build that and make it more and more, bit by bit,
the way that we do things with love. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live.